Well, it's not a small topic and can lead to many subtopics. So, with the help of Brother Mark, we narrowed it down to consider some primary features of the temple. And we'll look at those features and the references given. But before we start, we just might consider what a temple is. In any place on earth, a temple is usually a holy place, a place set aside, as it were, set apart for some form of religious service or gathering. And we know from Scripture that in Ephesus there was a temple to Diana. And what an impact that had on the whole Mesopotamia, the whole area. And we praise the Lord that the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, had such an impact, presenting a greater temple and a greater person, even the Lord Jesus himself, and thereby presented a more glorious temple than anything earth could have, than anything of this earth. And so we have Naos, the second thought of the word of temple, and that's the root word meaning to dwell, and referred to most holy place where God of glory rested in the physical temple. What an awesome thought that God himself and Solomon really was overwhelmed in the thought of God, which the heavens itself cannot contain, should dwell in a house made with hands. How is that possible? And yet, upon the dedication of the temple, the cloud, the Shekinah cloud, filled the temple, and the glory of the Lord was there so that the priests could not go in at that moment. And the greatness of God was seen. It was an awesome thing. The fact that God resided in a place on earth. Amazing. But he was amongst his people. And that's an important thought. So let's just look at the primary features that we want to think about. Number one, the glory of God filled the place. Let's look at 1 Kings 8, 9 through 11. First Kings chapter 8 and verse 9. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Notice the title that is given at the very last, the house of the Lord. And 1 Kings 9:3. 1 Kings 9, verse 3. And the Lord said to him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built, to put my name there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Further defining that place. As the house of the Lord. The second thing we want to look at, a place of communion. A place where prayers are made and heard. Look at 1 Kings 8 and 29 to 30. First Kings 8, verse 29, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel when they shall pray toward this place. And hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place when thou hearest, forgive. And also Mark 11:17. Mark 11:17, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? If it meant little to the generations of Israelites that this was a house of prayer, it meant a lot to God. It was so, and it was to be so. And the third aspect is for a testimony on earth. Look at 1 Kings, again, 8 and verse 60. We have that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and there is none else. In 1 Kings 9, 7 and 8. Then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house, which is high, everyone that passes by, it shall be astonished, and shall hiss. They shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? What a prophecy. That of such a testimony, God would make this prophecy where this testimony once served as a world focus of the presence of God on earth to be cast aside. What a shame of the Lord's people. And what a disregard for the one true God. A blesser God who heard his people. Who was always ready to bless his own. Who was ready to hear their prayers. Who was ready to serve them. To provide, to give. That they should cast that aside. just shows that it's not God that fails, but man. And really, it serves as a warning for us, for ourselves, for our testimony. Because certainly, the Lord Jesus, who is a temple here on earth of God, where the Godhead dwelled bodily in Him, never failed. Right? And He's our example. What lessons we can learn from these thoughts. And so we have the glory of God in that place. We have a place of communion. And we have a place for testimony of the one true God. And if we consider that the temple from those thoughts, perhaps the Lord, the Spirit will lead and guide in giving us much blessing. And Brother Bill will read the portion for the first reading.